Get ready.
Everybody ready to start recording?
Yeah, or we've been recording already, so.
Okay, guys. Okay. Welcome to another episode of the Anime Guru Podcast. This episode, I found a magic leprechaun, and I essentially ordered him to make all the hosts of the Cybernauts cast black. And now they can roll with us at the AG Podcast, so it's all good. And before we get down to smoking the marijuana today, I would just like everybody here to know that
I already did that.
I have... No, I mean, this is some special weed, okay? I have
David's
laced this weed...
David's got his special government weed on hand.
I've laced this weed with Einstein's ashes. So, we're going to be super geniuses for a few days. Because this is some good shit. You'll be high for a few days. You'll be
that sounds like
days.
That episode of regular show where they make... where they get that brain matter juice and they get, like, super smart between Rigby and Mordecai.
I mean, it was just like that movie, How High... featuring Method Man, written by Jesse Dillon, Bob Dylan's son. It's great. It's great. And you need this to understand the movie we're talking about today, Jar's Counterattack.
And, you know, I have to kind of agree with you on that. But
Hey, where's...
for people who are not on any substance listening to this, don't tell Jeff this, but you're actually listening to the Cybernauts cast. And, you know, we're obviously... You're joined by the same people, which is, you know...
Dustin is so high right now that he doesn't know he's on the Anime Guru Podcast.
It's hard to tell. It's hard to switch realities when I try to make my own, because then I'm getting conflicts. But you got to let me finish when I speak, Mr. Weed Man. So anyways, we got, you know, your regular co-hosts. You got me, and you got John and Vimon Josh. And, of course, to wreck up everything is Jeff from Anime Guru.
Yeah, we're talking about Zeta Gundam, right?
Where's what? Andy?
Talking about Zeta Gundam.
No, we can't. We already did that.
Okay.
That was like 2 millennia ago.
Sorry, watching it.
And weed time. All right. So we're going to talk about Char's Counterattack, which, honestly, it's obviously a movie that if you're a Gundam fan, you would eventually have to go see it, but it's not the best movie in the world, and
it's not as good as Prometheus.
What?
It's as good as Prometheus.
I haven't seen Prometheus yet.
If you're into Ancient Aliens and Giorgio Scalos, you will be into Prometheus.
Oh, please. You're trying to compare Ancient Aliens to Char's Counterattack?
Yes. Well, no, Ancient
you
Aliens
know what? My hand's
79.
Open. Explain yourself, Jeff.
Listen. Listen, man. Listen. Aliens.
So are
okay.
Aliens and
listen,
the Zaku's the Xenos.
Okay, you gotta understand, man, that Char's Counterattack is supposed to be the sort of like final in to the Universal Century, where it's like, Tomino, this is the end. You gotta make this movie. No, I don't want to make this movie. I gotta make this movie. I don't want to make this movie at all. Ha ha. That's basically Tomino, right?
Was that a Walt Disney Mickey Mouse voice?
Listen, Gundam is basically Mickey Mouse at this point.
Oh my gosh!
Listen, it's had so many like iterations and shit. Okay, it's like its home franchise. It's like featured in commercials. It probably has its own channel. Been a couple movies made of it. And at this point, the Gundam is essentially Mickey Mouse. Now,
wasn't there a Gundam
understand.
Theme park? Wasn't there a Gundam theme park in Japan?
Probably.
There was. They had that,
there you go.
Like, that video ride, and then they took that down. And then now they had, like, what was it, the Gundam where you had to go, like, ask a bunch of questions just to sit into the cockpit. And that was on top of Mount Fuji, which I don't even know if that's still there anymore.
I think they shut it down.
More likely, yeah.
Anyway, go on.
That sounds dangerous. But yeah, Gundam was meant to be an end to all that, man. And it's like, this is the final battle between Char and Amuro, guys. Amuro never comes back, which is why Bright Noah cries a little bit on the inside in episode 5 of Unicorn. Okay? But, I mean, it's just kind of eh. Because Tamino really doesn't want to make this movie. There are like 4 different versions of this ending. And I don't know which one of them is the best ending.
Really?
I don't know which one of the ending has Char and Amuro on a beach getting babes. I don't know which one of them ends up with that.
That actually sounds like the better ending of all endings ever.
Yeah!
I know. I didn't know there were 4 different endings to this.
Yeah, it's like novels, manga, all that stuff. Oh. It's all different.
Is Hathaway's Flash part of one of those endings?
Probably.
I think Hathaway's Flash takes place afterwards.
But well, I know it takes place afterwards. I didn't know if it was added as an ending.
I haven't read about it enough on M like Andy has, so I can't really comment. Not Andy, Amdu. Amdu. There we go, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I'll go ahead and say, we'll get started into digging into this movie. But I know, Josh, this is your first time. This was your first time watching it, right?
Right.
Okay. Because we were both watching it together on my Justin TV channel, and you're at one point we're like, well, all logic of Gundam was just thrown out the window. And that was like 30 minutes into the movie.
Yes.
Wait, what point was that at?
I think it might have been after like the gold trade, where like the political aspects of this is kind of confusing, which to sum up, okay, well, if I was to sum up this entire movie, Char's counterattack is really, the true meaning of it is a bunch of people coming together with the mobile suits to push a meteor away from the Earth. It's like the same equivalent as like you and your buddies helping out a buddy on a Saturday morning moving his crap out of his apartment to something else, except it's a giant meteor. That's what the whole meaning of Char's counterattack is to me. And yeah. Instead of pickup trucks, it's mobile suits.
So, okay. Is Quest one of the buddies or something?
No, Quest is the annoying girlfriend that gets trampled over with this couch.
Oh, I wish.
Yeah. Instead of instead of the way it ended, it should have just Amuro should have just thrown a giant couch at the Alpha Azuru, and that would have killed.
Oh, now I remember the point when all logic was thrown out. Wasn't it where Quest was like doing a barrel roll through space without her helmet on?
Oh yeah, that was.
Oh
the most...
yeah, like and you were, we were like, yeah, that's Tamino. That's not how space works, apparently.
They've done that before in Zeta, so. Like, I can't really say...
Cowboy Bebop was, like, that one episode when they were, like, he had to help out the trucker lady, and he, like, uses his cockpit from the Swordfish 2 to, like, ram some explosives into a rock. But he puts, like, some earplugs or some, tissue paper in his ears and holds his breath. And then, of course, uses his gun to propel them through space into the truck. But that still made much more sense than what happened with Quest.
Well, I mean, technically in space, if there is any piece of bare skin exposed to the vacuum of space, you are dead. It's just your arm, you're dead.
Mansur's proved that. I think that was more proven. What would happen if a hot chick was exposed to space? Because everything in that show is about hot chicks.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sorry, about like the part where it stopped making sense. I don't know if it started that early or not, but I will say that there are some hilarious, like, lol Tamino moments in this movie. I don't remember any of them because I just started watching it a couple minutes ago, and I just got, like, 15 minutes in. But
you guys already reviewed it. You should be, like, refreshed 8 months ago from when you guys reviewed this movie.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't think the politics in the movie... is really complicated.
Well, it's not even that big of a deal for the politics. It's Char doing whatever he wants to do.
I mean, it's just the politics is stupid.
Yeah.
And not fleshed out in any way at all. But in, like, every single iteration of Gundam, we've sort of seen corrupt Fetty officials do something, like, just take bribes in order to, like, get, like, a, like, free reign through, like, a colony or be able to build bases on the side of a colony. So, like, that in and of itself isn't just, like, lol Tamino to me, because we see that shit all the time, just Fetty's being corrupt, and the Fetty's being arrogant and stupid. So, I mean, I don't really see where it's like, oh, what's going on, but I will agree that it is kind of dumb. But sometimes I theorize. I got to make a note about the sort of Char and Neil Zeon Fetty exchange of gold.
Yeah, so what was it? It was like they were buying Luna 2, and they were going to surrender their fleet when they bought Luna 2 or something, if they gave up Axis, and then they only went to attack Luna 2 by using a decoy fleet while they went to Axis, so they can take both of them at the same time.
Yeah.
Is that really what happened?
I'm pretty confident that's just what happened. It was just,
you know, I think that doesn't make any sense. That's probably, I'm still probably really close.
And it's just stupid.
Yeah, it does not flesh out at all. You're like,
and it explains to you why the Federation was probably going to get a meteor and her colony dropped on them, and how that shit happened.
Yeah.
I mean, other than 0083 and Ko Araki being just a shitty pilot. So yeah, Fetty's kind of have it like going against them because they're so corrupt, and also because their pilots are incapable of stopping Zeon.
Yeah. I mean, the movie starts out with them dropping a meteor, Fifth Luna, onto Earth. And then, of course, this movie, of course, is one of the main positives of this movie is the MS battles. They are so gloriously detailed and well done, of course, because it's movie quality. So you can't expect anything less. That's like one of the main like good things about this film is the MS battles.
I do got to say something. There's something interesting about like the meteor drop on Lhasa,
mm-hmm.
and it gets mentioned in episode 5 of Unicorn or 4 of Unicorn, and the character is just like, "Oh, yeah, this is nothing like the attack on Lhasa. Government employees died in this blast," and she's like, "What?" Any of you guys remember that moment?
That was at the beginning, right?
Yeah, it was right at the beginning when Riddy's dad was talking on the phone. He's just like, "Moon Lady, you killed my people. You might have killed a bunch of innocent civilians in the last attack. That was okay. But then you killed government employees.
Now we get serious."
What is that bullshit? It's nonsensical, but, I guess it's a kind of cool point, and a cool way to open. It's just like, this is what Char's doing. He's trying to destroy the Earth.
Yeah, because the Earth is corrupt, which I wonder if, like, it kind of reminds me, like, if Char watched an episode, that episode of South Park where the whole world became Jersey. So maybe he thought Earth was, like, New Jersey, and he's like, "I gotta drop a meteor to stop that. Because I can't let Jersey spread to space.
I gotta get Al-Qaeda to help me stop them." Who's gonna stop me?
The
richest person around is Osama bin Laden. Char in this movie becomes Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
except he doesn't like little girls. I mean, we already know when he didn't reciprocate Quest's love in this movie. He's all like, "I'm not a pedophile.
I don't know. Like, uses or seduces Quest because she's a good pilot, and that's all he cares about. And that was another stupid thing where, like, God, the guys in these shows, like, you know, especially like Hathaway and that one guy, crap, who love Quest. And I'm like, you guys, are you really that stupid?
You know, we should probably explain what this movie's about.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to get started on that.
Okay. Explain the real gritty story of Gundam Char's counterattack Unicorn.
Okay.
Let's go.
So, Char is apparently, I guess after being in space for too long, he gets back to Axis after Zeta Gundam, and then of course, he's able to lead the Neo Zeon into dropping Axis onto Earth, which is their final plan. And then of course, they have to deal with, you know, corrupt Federation officials, and hey, Andy's on. Someone go ahead. You want to try to add him?
Yeah!
Okay. So it's pretty much Amuro is back with the Federation, and he's fighting for the Federation to stop Char in this one last battle kind of thing. And that's pretty much the main outline of it. And of course, we get introduced to characters, which we get introduced to the worst character in Gundam, probably the worst anime character, which is
Quest!
Yes. Let's list things that are wrong with Quest, which basically is a long list. She's annoying. She's stuck up. She knows it all. She's annoying. She deserves to get slapped, but she doesn't get slapped enough. Did I mention she thinks she knows everything? And she's a public official's little daughter, which basically, works into their favor. Because they meet up with Hathaway. Because apparently there was 3 spots left in that spaceship, and then her Quest's daddy bought the other 2 from them. And then they made it sound like, wow, I'm so lucky they had an open spot open for the ship when it was their seats to begin with.
Because, I don't know if Quest is quite as annoying to me, because it seems like Quest, we just like maybe what Camille would seem like if we didn't see him in a whole show. So, like, she only got to be in a movie, to be fair to her, so we only got to see her be cool.
So, wait, you're cramming, like, if you take Camille from Zeta Gundam and cram and make Camille a woman and cram that personality into 2 hours, that's what we get, that's what Quest is. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, essentially, yes. I mean, think about it. Camille had some pretty shitty parents. He got exploded and... like, Quest doesn't really got no parents.
Well, so Camille didn't kill his parents. She did. She killed his daddy, trying to protect... Who was basically at the wrong place at the wrong time on Luna 2. Oh, yeah.
She ran away with Char and, like, became a super pilot.
No, that's the best part of this whole movie, is that, like, Char's... Okay, Char explains his whole theology of why he's doing what he's doing, and she just... It's not even 30 seconds of a conversation, and she is just convinced that is exactly what she needs to do is go with Char. There's not even a leg to stand on with his statements when him and Amuro are going at it, that any normal person would have, like, agreed to his decisions. But she completely complies with that, and she's like, no, Char's right. I should know, because I'm that smart. And she, like, tells Hathaway, like, that she studies India, and she's like, I studied, like, you know, this India guy, which is, like, the equivalent of, like, those know-it-all kids in high school that, like, they say that they read every religion to prove their religion's stupid, but they must have read, like, maybe 3 or 4 pages out of, like, each religion's book and just said, well, that's not enough evidence to convince me that, you know, this is a good religion or not. So they assume what they read makes that religion sound stupid. That's what Quest kind of reminds me of. I don't know. What's your take? Or go ahead.
I mean, it's just like, that's all I really got to say, is just that Gundam characters are kind of annoying and unrealistic, like, anyways, because Tomino doesn't know how to write characters or write dialogue.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, Quest just proves that. Like, I don't particularly like Quest. I think the whole internet is pretty much in agreement of hating her, but I will just say, this is like, whoa, slow down, this is Tomino we're talking about.
Well, I mean,
like, he was not in any way, shape, or form, like, happy with this movie.
Really?
So,
well, I mean, what is he really happy with regarding his work? Hardly none of it, apparently.
Yeah. He did not want to make this movie. It's kind of like End of Eva, where they're just like, fuck, we gotta make a movie now?
Because our fans hated our last 2 episodes because the funding was cut?
I'll burn your balls if you don't do it. That's probably what they did. It's like, Tamina, the last thing you got in this world is your balls. We'll burn them. You know it.
We're yeah.
Like, you don't give a shit about family or anything. We'll burn your balls.
That takes high precedence.
It's like, aw, shit. Any
normal man, it would.
I need some children to slap around to be adults. I don't want my balls gone.
I want to have kids to slap them around just like Captain Bright. That's my ultimate goal in life.
Yeah.
But, there's some good moments with Quest and Char. Apparently when Quest, like, barrel rolls into Char's mobile suit, she's like, oh, Nanai slapped me across the face. And then Char's response is, oh, how I do hate violence. Like...
Yeah, while he's ramming an asteroid into the Earth to kill 10 billion people.
Like, I don't even know if the term hypocrite can really describe that statement towards Char.
Remember in episode 4, Unicorn, that old man in the diner probably had the best insight into Char's character we've ever seen. You never learn to love mankind. You never did.
Andy, are you there?
I'm here.
Are you in a quiet area to talk to us about Char's counter Tomino attack?
I can chime in. That's going to be kind of quiet. But
we were just talking about something good, episode 4, Unicorn.
Well, let me sum up what you missed. Jeff believes this is one of your podcasts because he believes he's high on drugs, which he probably is. And we've pretty much been kind of summing up Char's counterattack up until just random parts. But we just kind of sort of discussed the grand drawbacks and greatness of that is of Quest as a character.
All right. Yeah, the most hated female character in Gundam, perhaps?
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. Up there with, like, Relina and Flay.
Shit, I hate her more than either of those characters. She's pretty terrible. I only remember her whining in this movie. And basically distracting from all the good stuff, which was Char and Amuro. I hate that bitch. She's awful.
You know, it's funny because people in this movie, like, apparently like her for some reason. There was when Char showed up to his ship after he just got Quest, that one guy's like, oh man, I want a piece of that. She's just my type. And you want to add, like, yeah, 14 and stupid.
People love crazy new type women in Gundam. That is everybody's favorite.
Disagree with that statement because I do and I have always liked 4, but
hey,
kind of in a bad
Loni. Loni was a beautiful brown woman. When was the last time we got that in Gundam, Andy? Gundam Age.
Gundam Below, a lot of brown women. Who were not very brown.
Victory Gundam had a brown girl.
Yep.
Actually survived the whole way through.
Oh, Shakti.
Well, not Shakti, but the other girl that it was like the nerdy guy married. They got married at like that in prison camp or something.
I'm surprised you made it through Victory Gundam.
Yeah.
I've seen the whole thing too.
She's a pretty hot black girl, I gotta admit.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, the one who broke her arm for like 5 episodes.
Didn't do anything. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. What's her name, though?
I can't remember what her name was.
No, no one can because it's Victory Gundam.
But
I tried to forget everything about that show.
But I love that show. But anyways, like, this movie actually had two characters I really enjoyed, female characters, that did not get enough spots. And that's Rezin from Neo Zeon and Kayra. But they wind up dying.
Neither of them do anything.
I would have loved to see them do more. Kayra was just like, no, I got to stick with the Federation and fight and everything. Because she's Astonage's girl.
You know what the dumbest thing is? Is Astonage's death. It's so pointless. It's not cool at all. He just blows up.
Wait, what part of the movie did he die? Because I look at it, and then I'm like, wait, did he really die? But then you forget about it all of a sudden.
Yeah, they show like an explosion, and then they show us. They show an explosion, and then they show someone else looking at his suit, and it's got like blood coming out of it. So I'm pretty sure he died.
Wait, what part was that?
I think it was right after someone was leaving, a little while after Kayra died. I don't know.
Okay.
Is he the one who, after his girlfriend dies, he shouts, I was going to make your favorite salad.
I was going to make Kayra pasta.
Yes.
What the fuck?
That was so stupid.
I would have loved to try that Kayra pasta out.
Guess that's the most important thing.
Why did Tomino think that was a good line?
There was actually some really good funny parts in this movie, too. Like that one Zeon pilot that crashes into the rock. He's like, wait, what? This is a real rock? And then it gets shot at by Amuro.
Yeah, Amuro was a champ in this movie. His kill count is pretty damn high for like 90 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of really it was really the Gundam's fault to why Kayra died, because it was like the funnels were protecting him and not because they're too sensitive or something. So then
Gundam never really used funnels before.
Yeah, that's true.
Here's what I don't get at all. Why do all the Zeon guys like suddenly decide to defect at the last second? It's totally random.
Who fucking knows? There's no foreshadowing to that.
Listen. It'll get explained in Unicorn. Okay. When Unicorn turns into Evangelion, we'll understand.
No, okay. It won't.
When it turns into Evangelion and the moon bleeds red and the sun bleeds blue, we will know, Andy. It's not our time yet to criticize Tomino's brilliant writing to show how Evangelion, for some reason, wants to save the Earth after wanting to destroy the Earth for the entire goddamn movie. Okay?
So are we meant to assume that they just didn't know that the big rock heading towards Earth was meant to crash into it? Or did they just see the shiny lights and go, oh shit, maybe we should help?
I'm pretty sure they all, like, didn't Char, like, do broadcasts about what he was going to do on TV and stuff? Like, didn't they all know what they were doing?
I don't know if he ever,
he talked
yeah.
about a bunch of political stuff, and that was, well, like... I mean,
everybody already knew that he had already been trying to send asteroids to the Earth to destroy it. The only, like, feasible explanation to say that they might not know it is Char saying shit like, oh, let's bomb Jabro or something, right? But, like, we never really...
Found... Tibet.
Yeah. Tibet is not Jabro.
Yeah, he never said Jabro.
Well, Jabro got nuked. There's no point of dropping another rock on it because
yeah.
he didn't do anything.
He doesn't mention Jabro. He mentions Lhasa in Tibet. But
yeah.
Yeah, remember, Lhasa doesn't have government employees. We know that from Unicorn Episode 4. So
no,
the government doesn't care if civilians die.
Oh, no, it's more they just like evacuate everybody before it happens. It's only the civilians got murdered, which is fine. That's okay.
Oh, we forgot to mention that Amuro has a girlfriend in this called Chan.
She also does nothing.
Well, she basically is his sidekick, and she's like, I got this T-shaped thing that has, like, helps with new type stuff, kind of, sort of.
T for Tomino.
What the hell is the point of that T thing?
The Tomino staff.
Yeah. It just creates bullshit at the end to save everybody. Green magic.
Yeah, and then, of course, Hathaway kills Chan after, like, Chan got killed Quest.
A lot of deaths in this movie that nobody cares about because these characters have no personality. Can anybody tell me what Chan's personality was other than kind of liking Amuro?
No.
Than liking salad?
Is this a trick question?
No, they have no fucking personality because it's a Tomino show. It's a Tomino movie where he didn't bring any fucking input into this. He just was like, oh, all right. I'll get a 50-episode plot and just put it into 90 minutes, and I'll have a bullshit Deus Ex Machina ending, which is foreshadowed by a letter.
I think Tomino just had, like, the whole script on a tack board and had some darts and just covered his eyes, and just wherever the darts landed to the sentence, that's what he was going to use for the final script.
I love that letter, though.
That would explain some lines.
That letter is great, though. They spell Char, S-H-A-R, and Zion is G-I-O-N, and there's all these typos.
Zion.
I think we're talking about the novels.
Zion.
No, well, he reads, like, a letter, which is obviously going to be written in English, because a great Gundam tradition is Englishy letters. And it basically just says, like, oh, shit, there might be a Deus Ex Machina at the end of this, because this Gundam has magic powers.
Yeah.
And that's like the one piece of foreshadowing for that god-awful ending.
Well, we do get to see what happens to Char when he takes transportation or public transportation, because people like to sing to him and hand him flowers.
That's the best scene in the movie.
Awesome. Yeah, Char is fighting for our prayers.
That is a fantastic scene, and it feels really out of place in a shitty movie.
That's why it was part of the best scene.
Yeah. And then, it definitely got like a sort of almost kind of like a communist Russia feel to it. Like, maybe I'm just saying that because he's wearing that badass red coat.
Yeah, well, I think I heard like saxophones in the background. Or not saxophones, but I think harmonicas in the background.
Yeah. Char is fighting for the proletariat, guys.
Char is fighting for Marxism, which clearly states that you can drop meteors on the Earth.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep,
I read that in page 41 of the Communist Manifesto, right by the let's abolish private property. It's fuck the Earth. Everybody got to leave because the elite of Earth, you're gonna bomb the bourgeoisie. You're gonna make it cold. Cold is the hearts of the bourgeoisie. Anybody who's living there, you know, doesn't care about mankind. Black people.
Gravity is keeping them down, just like capitalism. It's evil. We have to destroy it.
Yes.
You're as good as us. You're willing to sacrifice the Earth.
On the note of the Earth elite and Tomino being a shitty director, does anybody know why at the end of this movie, when they pan over the citizens of Earth, they show an elephant? three hippies, an old woman in a castle. That is what Tamio decided. Not like cities of people looking at the... They show an elephant and hippies.
I remember seeing the old woman looking out the window like, what is that?
Yeah, who? Is that an old Gazan who got a sex change? Like,
listen,
what's happening there?
They represent the best of mankind. The hippies...
An elephant. A random elephant is the best of mankind.
The elephant wiped Tamino's ass for him one day when he was Chinese John. The hippies gave Tamino cocaine and LSD, which he needed.
No, I don't think hippies carry cocaine and LSD. It's more pot and LSD.
No, listen, these are serious. They are the best hippies of mankind. The best hippies of mankind have to offer. Listen, and the old lady just probably sucked his dick at some point. I don't know. Tamino.
I don't fucking know. And why was Hong Kong a desert?
I thought it was a desert already.
No.
He got shot 5 times for his money. People was all like, oh, Hong Kong, you got too much nice stuff, so we're going to shoot you. Just like how they shot Tupac. You know, maybe it just signed a record. Maybe it just signed a label to Death Row Records. Maybe it did that. You do that, you're going to die.
Are we talking about Death Row Records conspiracy now? What's happening?
Listen. When Twilight comes to theaters, I will sign up with Death Row Records. I don't want to be working that day. Better to be shot 5 times for my money than it is to be working when Twilight comes out at the theater, okay?
Well, on the subject of music, does anybody else love the ending theme to this movie?
Beyond the Time?
Yeah, I love that song.
I do too. Yeah.
We belong to Earth. Sayonara.
Sayonara
to Tomino's directing.
Yeah. This fucking movie. Is it intentional that at the end of this movie, when the retarded green space dust saves the plot, a giant T for Tomino just flies around the Earth to be like, I did this, fuckers.
I mean, well, this movie has some... I mean, speaking of entertaining stupid stuff, I like how, like, when Char escapes, like... Amuro handles Char's cockpit like it's a basketball, and I thought he was going to go like from downtown to slam dunk Char in the meteor, which is pretty much what he did anyways.
I mean, that's kind of cool.
Like, it was
cool,
all NBA Jam and stuff.
That's kind of cool, but it is a bit weird that, you know, Char's cockpit has just grown. Because it was like a tiny little cockpit behind the monoeye, and it was like the size of Amuro's chest.
I was expecting like Amuro to do some pull some and one moves with that Char's cockpit. On the
that would be way too entertaining for this movie.
Yeah, that would have been like that would have been this movie like the best thing ever if that happened.
If the Gundam saga ended with cockpit baseball on Axis. We want Space Jam with Gundam.
That's what I was about to start singing that stupid song.
You can still sing it, bro. Sing it.
Everybody, get ready for the something. Welcome to the Space Jam.
Space Jam.
It's your chance. Do your chance at the Space Jam.
Space Jam.
All right.
It's a tight moment right there, guys.
I have like actual music to add at the end of the credits or after the show.
You can see this time here. Itself. That.
See time itself? Well, I mean.
Yeah.
Oh. Lala could have been like a mother to me, man.
Yeah, I will say one thing I like about this movie is Char is just stylish as fuck throughout the entire thing.
Yeah, he's got that awesome mullet going on with his slick back hair, which has been my look for like 6 or 7 years.
He does look kind of like the douchey 90s guy with the, you know, the greasy hair. But apart from that, you know, I do love the suits.
It's
totally
the 80s. At least that with slick back, because it was like the corporate douchebag look.
That's it.
Like that's the Brian J. Mason look. Was everyone have their hair slicked back? Because it's so Bubblegum Crisis ish.
Well, I mean, it's also the third stage of Char. It's like 3 stages of Charmander. We saw Char.
I've seen that. I think there's like a GIF of it or somewhere.
This is Charizard, man.
Charizard.
I'm an irrelevant joke. I'm still hip. I'm still cool. I still hang out with children.
Yeah.
They get my jokes.
There's this movie, like I was telling you, I started out by saying that the true meaning of Char's counterattack is everyone coming together with the mobile suits and help pushing a rock away from the Earth.
Yeah.
That's what it really is all about.
Even though, you know, the motivation of, like, half those people is against pushing that rock away. Whatever, it's fine.
Well, you didn't mention that Char had, like, this other girl that was his assistant. He was just like, yeah, she's pretty nice. And then, of course, like, she wanted to get in on with Char, and he's just like, I got some testing to do. I'll go to sleep. And then she left her with a blue vagina.
There is a scene of her basically opening up her pussy to Char as he just talks about politics for half an hour and drinks his scotch and does not give a fuck.
And then she, like, gets mad and is like, because she's not going to ride him that night.
Yeah, that is a sexy scene. I like to believe that whenever somebody's coming on to Tamino, if that has ever happened, he just talks about space politics. He's just
Listen, man, the people in space, they never had a chance, man. Gotta give him a shot. This is what Zion's about, bitch.
I do believe that his only real love was Amaril for that entire franchise.
You don't think he's a pedophile?
No, stop.
The only thing he loved was his hate for Amaril. That was it.
What was that, John?
You don't think he's a pedophile? They can't imply that.
No, I don't. I actually don't. Because they even say at the end, like, Amaril says that he was using her. Like, he was trying to bring out her new type powers. But I don't think he was ever interested in her sexually, to be honest.
Yeah, but wasn't Lala a kid, too?
What's that?
Wasn't Lala also, like, a minor?
Yeah, she was. But then, even her, it's not a sexual relationship. Because he says at the end she could have been a mother to him.
Yeah, that's just fucking weird, though.
Well, I mean, she was still, I mean, Lala back then was still 15, he was like 19, so the age gap wasn't like too terribly far off. It was like 19, 20. I mean, yeah, it's still...
It's not a sexual relationship. They kind of got other way to say it's not at the end, or else they wouldn't have had him say it was a mother figure.
But he's like 35 in this, or 33 or something.
I don't really believe that Char is even a very sexual person, to be honest.
He doesn't understand sex. I don't think anybody in Tamino shows understands sex, except maybe Bright.
Well, in
Bright did have kids, so...
In Shuichi Ikeda's interview, where he did this book where he was just interviewing different people, and he said in one of them that Tamino told him when he was directing Char's Counterattack that Amaro and Char represented the two sides of Tamino's personality.
No.
I don't know if, like, Tamino's just constantly at war with himself, where, you know, one hand he's a revolutionary... On the other hand, Lala could be a mother to him. And, yeah, I don't know.
I guess that's why he killed them both off, which means he probably killed himself off with that movie.
Maybe, and then he was reborn of King Gaynor.
I think we got this movie covered. So,
Ouija in this episode, Zach? I mean, Amdu?
What's that?
Or are we going to do some Ouija in the next episode, AG? I think it's time to summon Dazaki.
Oh, right, some Ouija boards. Yeah, I thought you said weed, and I was like, this is not the High Times podcast. But have you guys answered the eternal question of if Char died or not, or if Amaril died? Or
no.
Because I've had this movie for like 10 years, it's actually funny, like, because the DVD that I streamed it off of, I bought that like 10 years ago, because this movie came out like in August of 2002. So it still works, and it's still in my collection proudly. And I remember when I watched this, like, it was one of those, I thought it was a good movie, because I think, like, movies that don't have an actual hard conclusion was like, oh, you can draw your own conclusion and have it be, like, you know, a huge debate, and I consider that a good movie, which may or may not be half true now that I know that. But honestly, like, I thought about that too, because there was really no evidence of, like, who would have survived the better end.
Yeah, I mean,
they both survived or they both died. So
you have Nanai saying that Char's life force is draining. So yeah, it seems like he's probably dying. I mean, people point out that there's like one frame of like a thruster trail leaving Axis at the very end. So it's possible that they put that in there so if they ever wanted to sell a billion copies, they could bring them back in the future.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
no, it's
like
the trail of the unicorn. It's episode 7 of Gundam Unicorn. Char's ghost and Amaru's ghost come back to save the world.
That would probably, you know, that would probably sell like millions of copies. Like, if they want to do that,
best anime of all time. Like,
if they want to do that, it would be artistically corrupt, but they would make so much money from doing that.
Don't you think they'll do it after? Don't you think they'll bring them back after Tamino dies?
Oh, maybe, but I hope not. I mean, like, it's scary that they even say that.
It's like dirty laundry. It's like, okay, we've got the actual true ending to Char's counterattack on which one of them actually lived.
And we're going to leave the solar system, guys. We got to go make Turn A Gundam a real thing, guys.
I mean, even if I guess they could get away with that, they've got to know that's like morally corrupt on some level. Just wait until he kicks the bucket and bring him back. Well, I'm not the biggest Tamino fan, but I can respect that he killed them off.
Yes.
Well, I have another proposition or like an idea too. Like, especially when there's Char clones coming out, like with Gaia Gear, especially with Gundam Unicorn. Where do they get the DNA from Char?
I can give you the actual answer to that if you want.
Okay.
It's technically not the DNA. What happened was, if you use a psychoframe for long enough, your personality is converted into binary. So you can replicate somebody's personality from a psychoframe
into someone else.
So you can extract personalities from it. So there was a bunch of test psychoframes that Char used, and that's where he came from in Gaia Gear. And I think the Unicorn novels.
Okay.
But they've already said that for the anime of Unicorn, they're changing Full Frontal's origin. So.
Okay. Yeah, because I kind of wonder about that too. I'm like, there would have to be some sort of blood sample, or like the Nai would have to have like a used condom somewhere.
Didn't
she just head in a tube or something?
Wasn't he like experimented on before Mobile Suit Gundam or something?
I don't think so, but it's possible.
I think there was something about this in like the origin, but I haven't read that. This is just something Fiki said.
I've read some of the origin. I mean, for most of his life in the origin, he's like hanging out with this dude on like a neutral space colony, which looks like Spain, and then he gets attacked. And there's some cool stuff. I don't remember ever being experimented on. I remember him dressing up as a knight and fucking up some Zabby loyalists. But no experimentation.
Oh yeah, I read that on Wikipedia too. Where like he wanted to start a coup d'état or something, just to show what he can do.
I mean. Yeah, Yasuhiko is really one for like historical manga and stuff, and he just fits a lot of that stuff in there in the origin. And even just reading that stuff raw, the stuff about Char's childhood is so well done.
Well, even in Origin, apparently, like they had Char, like he was like a construction laborer or something, like when they're working on Jaburo before the war started. So like he knew where Jaburo was.
Oh, and there's even stuff in Origin of him like negotiating with the native Indians there. And like getting them on his side during the attack on Jaburo and stuff. There's a lot of really interesting stuff in there.
Yeah, he goes to show just how charismatic and what a great, you know, what a leader he actually is.
Yeah,
right, I love around, he's a great leader, but he's actually able to lead people to do what he wants to do.
I haven't read all of Origin because a lot of it just hasn't been translated, but what I have has been really fantastic. And it kind of made me realize that I think Yasuhiko is probably more to do with Gundam success than Tamino when it comes down to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, do we know what the Origin anime project is going to be yet?
No, we don't. I think either when Age or Unicorn finishes, they'll announce it.
Yeah.
Probably better after when Unicorn's done, or possibly.
I agree, yeah. But that'll be like 2014 at this point. So.
Yeah, we got a couple of years before that happens.
Age! Speaking of Age, are any of you guys watching Age?
No.
I haven't. For Generation.
Well, I mean, I know you just marathon each season, but alright.
Anybody else been watching Age?
I haven't seen any of it.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen none. I don't think Josh has either.
One of our past co-hosts from our other podcast talk about the first couple episodes, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah. I think Viku's watching it too, but...
Gasp. I didn't think he would ever touch that.
It's a show of a lot of controversy, but...
He says that he prefers Gundam for girls to Gundam for little kids, and by Gundam for girls he means like Wing and Seed. He thinks those are better, even.
I wouldn't say that, but Gundam Age. I like Gundam Age. It feels a lot like it's a tribute to the Universal Century stuff with a lot of the fluff removed, but it's nothing groundbreaking. But I like how it's paced, and I like it.
So what's groundbreaking about it?
Jeff is more of a fan of it than I am, but I'm
into it. Yeah, it's the shit. Watching it as it comes out. Fantastic.
Yeah, since we got some extra time, I was going to talk about Gundam Battle Operation just came out.
Oh, shit. How is that? I want to play that.
Really basically, from what I've read about it I don't know how I found about it last night, but like I did a search on it or something, and then it led me to like the page to Kotaku when they wrote like a small article about it, and then I got to the part where this game is free, and they go, I repeat, F-R-E-E, and I just literally stopped and just started having Tourette's. And just like, oh my god, holy fuck, oh my god. And I just like grab my controller and like my TV remote. And I'm like hitting the power button to turn everything on so I can download it like one.
So is it more. Definitely free? Because it sounded to me like they were saying it's free, but you need to pay for every suit that you would use. And...
Yeah, it's like you can win points and you have like a, basically like there's these, it's kind of like they tell me, like I read whatever it was on Kotaku where it's like, it seems like you have like a trial version or you have like, you can play up to 3 rounds before, like, I guess those 3 rounds you can actually get stuff, and after that you have to wait. But those, like, these, you get like 3 points, and both those replenish after like 6 hours or something, or like 1 point replenishes after 2 hours. But even after they're done, you can still play the game because, like, I was up to 3:30 last night playing it, and I played like 6 or 7 rounds in a row, but I was past the 3 because I thought the game would just like stop me from playing it, but it didn't. I may have, right. You know, I probably wasn't able to upgrade anything on it, but I was still able to play the game and, like, still get points and stuff and level up. So, I guess it's more of a content thing, but,
So what are the controls like? Are they 8-1 style?
Well, the gameplay, and this is, I'll even talk about, like, what these whiny Gundam Crybaby fans on Gundam Facebook page are talking about. Like, everyone, they're all complaining.
Well, you get complaining. Don't do that.
I'll get to that in a sec, but right. They're all, like, I went on there to post our podcast for the Double Zeta review, and they were like, I guess they all expected to be like 8-1, which 8-1 is a well-balanced game. It's a fun game.
I thought that one did the best job of feeling like you were moving as they did in the anime.
They took everything that was wrong with Crossfire, and they actually, like, improved it with Gundam 8-1.
Yeah, and I thought they did a good job of giving the mech some weight, but
with this game, it's a bit more clunky. Like the delays for attacks, or there's actually delays on attacking. It's not too smooth, but again, it's kind of like some people like their like robot games where it's clunky and, you know, it's more technical and you have to strategize like your time frame between switching weapons and how you're going to attack someone while your gun's reloading. But, I mean, it kind of keeps it engaging that way. I don't really have a huge problem with it. I mean, I think one of the main things... I mean, obviously, it's a mobile suit game, but... you can actually go prone with your mobile suit. Like, you can lay flat on the ground and actually try to pick people off. Like, it's like... It's basically... This is Battlefield 3 for Gundam, in a sense. But it's like... If you're an actual foot soldier... It's third-person view.
Yeah, that excites me a lot. I would love that idea.
My only issues with that is obviously they didn't really plan too well on the animation frames for character running. Right. It just looks too off. And it was funny because
people said that with the Xbox game as well, that they tried to make like an FPS Gundam. But people said the problem was when you got out of the Gundam, the detail was really pretty terrible.
I figured they wouldn't care less about like the FPS because it's like, yeah, we'll add this you know, mechanic in there, but that's not the main one because people just want to pilot mobile suits all the time. Who's gonna go like first person? No one when they got mobile suits. But with this, it's like you can do that too. But I mean, there's really not a lot of challenge when it comes to killing some people because like I haven't died being as a foot soldier, except maybe once or twice, but that was because like a Zaku blew me away with a grenade or something. But like when I was on the ground and I was fighting another soldier, like apparently no one could kill me. And I would sit there and pick them off, like with the two or three bullets. And I'm like, are you serious?
I just want to get out my rocket launcher.
Yeah.
Fire San Andrew in the head.
I haven't unlocked a rocket launcher yet. Like there was one part where I was at our base and like I was, and you actually get jetpacks. So I was flying around with a jetpack, just like shooting my machine gun at a Zaku. And like I was like, I knew this isn't going to do anything, but what do I care? So then the pilot got out trying to find me, and as soon as he gets out, I pick him off in 3 shots, and like we're not even that far apart. And it was funny, but like apparently, like if you're in the mobile suit trying to shoot somebody, there's actually a degree of difficulty with that, because I went through from the viewpoint, if you're in a mobile suit looking at somebody from the ground, they look like this little green speck that's just like going like 50 miles an hour. Which I'm like, wait, no human could run that fast. But, and he tries shooting at them, and they're still like, they're like a cockroach. You can't kill them until you're outside of your mobile suit. So that's maybe like one issue.
You gotta be like Amuro and use those head turrets.
Well, I mean, Char kind of proved that, you know, if you're in a, you know, if someone's trying to pick you off in a mobile suit, it's next to impossible because you're a smaller target. So that kind of takes that into effect, sort of. But I don't know. Some people were complaining about how it takes too long to kill people in this game, which I like, but I don't really have a problem with it because it adds difficulty. Because if it takes them as long to kill them, then it takes them the same amount of time, so you can actually live longer and strategize and everything. But, what was it? Like, I was at, so when I, so supposedly when I posted in the Gundam Facebook page, my comment was, you know, because they're basically complaining about, like, oh, you know, everyone's disappointed about how it came out, and it's, oh, it's clunky. And I said, you know, you got, and I wrote, you guys do realize that they can patch this game to make it better. I think the main issues is the running animation, which I just talked about. And I basically went on to say, you know, I'm still having fun with this game, and I don't, so I'm like, you know, don't knock it just yet. And then Chris, you know, Guacamole Ganooch was like, I don't care if they patch it later. I don't judge a game on how they may be in the future. I judge the way it is now. Watching it like this is kind of sloppy, no matter what comes
that
later.
That guy is just such a fucking spurglord.
So then
everything
I,
he says.
So then I said, no, then I said, but it's not that all that terrible of a game, and it's not a terrible game. I said, at least to me, it's more playable than Gundam Crossfire, and he responds back saying, saying it's better than Crossfire isn't saying much. I'm not saying it's a terrible game, just disappointing.
That sounds like,
listen, but what's your argument? I mean,
don't argue with him for too long because then he'll just edit all your posts months later.
He can't edit anything on Facebook.
I can't take that guy seriously. Everything he says, I just read in the whiny autistic voice.
Because after you told me that about like him are editing your post to make him look like he win an argument, I'm like, that's just sad.
Yeah, it was like months after I had a conversation on the Mecha board, which I thought was like kind of a pretty civil, normal conversation. I come by a couple of months later, and he's just deleted most of my posts or edited them like he had won the argument.
Yeah, like so, really, you're gonna waste that much time to make yourself look better on an internet forum? Like you're not winning any awards, dude.
I can't take the guy seriously.
Well, I comparing it to Crossfire, I later wrote, to be honest, Crossfire isn't really that bad of a game. And I wrote, with basically every Gundam game I play, it takes about 15 or 20 minutes to understand the controls. Then once you do, the game's actually playable.
When it comes to mecha games, I'm firmly on the Zone of the Enders side of the spectrum, which is, when you first play that game, those controls are just like, it's unthinkable you get used to them. But by the end, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's like, that's how some of these games are. Like, because like, I have to say, like, I made an example where Crossfire, I think, was better handled than, say, Journey to Jaburo for the PlayStation. Or the PlayStation 2. Because I know with Journey to Jaburo, I played that game so much, but it took me like 10 or 15 minutes to get used to the controls. Then I went back to it a few years later, and I was just like, wait, what do I do? This is like, holy crap. And I was like, I couldn't play it hardly. And then I played it for about 10 minutes. And then I could play the game again. So that's kind of like any Gundam game, really. I don't know why Japan makes it that way, but I mean,
WWE isn't really like that. That's why I'll never return to Zone of the Enders 2. As much as I love that game, I cannot relearn that crazy ass control scheme.
Yeah, well,
where it's like
press
triangle to move forward.
They got the HD collection coming out, and it's like, I already own the first two games. Am I really going to pay money for HD collection? Probably yes.
But yes, I know. Like, I'm not even going to play it again, but I will buy it.
Yeah, I'd rather buy that than the Metal Gear Solid HD collection, which is only 2 and 3, really. And then, of course, they got Metal Gear Rising, which it's basically Devil May Cry or Ninja Gaiden Metal Gear.
I didn't even know that was still coming out.
Yeah, it's coming out like February or March next year, which I'll still play it regardless.
I gotta support some Zone of the Enders because I want a third game so bad.
I know.
They have announced it.
I think it'll happen, but it should be like a huge announcement.
I think they have announced it. They just don't really have many details about it yet.
I didn't know they did announce it or not.
I could be wrong.
But yeah, that was pretty much. I mean, honestly, with Char's counterattack and the Gundam battle operations, I'd say definitely try it out. But, I mean, yeah, Char's Counterattack, if you're a Gundam fan and you haven't seen it yet, it's definitely, you have to definitely watch it. Even if, you know, regarding if it does have its issues. Hey, it's not a terrible movie, but it's, again, it does have its issues.
One last thing about that. Do you guys think Char was in character in this or no? Because it seems, like, really weird after how he was in Zeta. I think I've mentioned this before.
That's a good question, and I think if you'd asked me that a couple years ago, I would have said no straight away, but, watching it again, he's in character to a point. I believe that he would do these things because the way that he is presented in especially the first Mobile Suit Gundam, he's pretty unscrupulous morally, and he has always, the means always justify the ends to Char. What doesn't strike me as in character is that he's still so fixated with Lala's death when that was barely a plot point in Zeta Gundam. He barely cared anymore. So
yeah.
For them to make that the crux of his position, it's all because of Lala, that's very strange.
It's really weird because he was fighting alongside Amuro and everything, and, you know, he didn't, like, want to punch him every time he saw him or anything. It's
yeah, not at all. And a large part of his characterization in that movie is that he's gone over Lala. So for them, it felt very cheap to me for them to say at the end, it wasn't really about his politics, his ideology. He was just butthurt about Lala. And
I think this might actually be better if you haven't seen Zeta and Double Zeta, because there's no real.
Emphasis. Exactly. I wonder if part of that might be because, you know, back then people didn't really have to rewatch things as much. There were reruns, but home media wasn't as big a thing. And maybe the people who went to see Char's Counterattack, they were more likely to have seen the original movies than Zeta. So yeah, this is just meant to be a continuation to that.
When I first saw this, it came out way before Zeta Gundam came out. And, like, this, I saw this before I got into Zeta Gundam. So, like, I saw this, and they made references, of course, to it a little bit. But
tiny bit.
I knew enough about, I didn't see all of Gundam, but I knew enough about it where I knew what the characters were like, kind of, sort of, but... But it helps if you've seen Zeta Gundam, especially where they mentioned, like, you know, Char, you helped, you know, side along us during the Grips conflict and everything, and now you're this. What happened?
They mentioned it, like twice.
There's not one recurring character from Zeta Gundam who was original from that show. I feel like the producers intentionally had Tamino, or there was some intentional attempt to tone back the references to Zeta, because it does feel like this could be a sequel to the original, and it might actually fit more tonally as a sequel to the original.
Yeah. So. They aired this on Adult Swim, and they had never aired Zeta or Double Zeta or anything like that on there.
Yeah, they did actually air this, like, New Year's Eve, I think it might have been 2002, I want to say, like, that New Year's Eve night.
I think if they had made compilations of Zeta Gundam, it might have been more likely that they would have more references to it in this, but because you know, back then home media wasn't what it was, they might have wanted to scale that back.
Actually, I think regarding what Aaron on Adult Swim, I think I was actually at a friend's house, and like we actually were watching this on TV when I was at his house, because we did the whole you know, yay, you know, Happy New Year kind of thing, and we went right back to watching Char's Counterattack and Adult Swim. And then I was, like, trying to explain things to him, like, whatever I knew about Gundam at the time, and he was just like, okay. I was like, oh, MS battles look cool, and I'm like, yeah, they do.
They do look pretty. I'll give it that.
It's not as detailed as, like, 83, but again, this was before that. True. But it still looks really, really good.
Probably, yeah. I guess it's maybe more motion than 83, but you're right, it's not the same level of detail.
Yeah.
Hey, does anyone know why they, like, never addressed, like, Char and Haman's backstory together or whatever in any of the Gundam animated media?
Oh, I mean, to be honest, like, Yasuhiko was real into going into people's backstory. Right now, Hatoshi Fukui is really into that. But Tamino never really ever did that. Even in the original series that he directed, there was, like, a couple of very quick flashbacks to Char's childhood. But really, he didn't really expound on the backstories of his characters.
Yeah, I don't even remember those flashbacks. They must have been really brief.
Really brief. And they're in a TV show, mostly. I mean, think about Zeta Gundam. Shiroko has almost no real backstory in that series.
You're right.
You just have to kind of take it from what they do in their moment. And that's not something I'm against, but I'm not sure if he's really a competent enough director to have that work. Because, again, I could not tell her the characters, you know, the characterization of most of the characters in this movie. I couldn't tell her their personalities.
Yeah, I think you're right. So. I mean, it goes along with the lack of characterization. They just are not very deep. They don't have backstories. They don't have personalities. It's just kind of weak.
Yeah. They're kind of just thrown out there.
And, I mean, some of these characters, like Shirako or Haman, they might have, like, a good design, and they're kind of cool, but, like, yeah. It would be nice
totally
if they had
you, and
something
to them.
I think
a lot of the time, these fandoms almost sprout around more of the character design and maybe the voice actors than they do what they do, because when I think of Haman, I can't really think of any actions that she took in Zeta Gundam that were particularly impressive. Like, not many scenes stand out to me for her.
Well, I mean, she did kind of just show up, but she really does everything in Double Zeta.
Because, to be honest, I kind of, like, when it had been a couple of years since I'd seen Zeta Gundam, I kind of forgot she existed. I remembered her character design, but I didn't remember anything about her. I think Jeff had the same experience when I was talking to him about Zeta Gundam, about Haman Karn, and he couldn't really remember who I was talking about.
I guess that's why it's good that there
I remember
are...
Haman. Now.
You do now.
Because she's M's favorite lady.
Some reason.
I guess that's why it's good there are other Gundam media, like manga, that explain the backstory, like Char's Deleted Affair
True,
and the origin.
I'm always like, I wish they got it right the first time. I wish you could just watch Zeta Gundam and understand everybody's backstory and characterization, but whatever, man. That's why we got stuff like 080 and Unicorn. It's fine.
It would just be nice. I mean, a lot of the stuff that does explain backstories, like, you know, the origin has only partially been released here. It's just kind of annoying.
True, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If anybody knows Spanish, I think it's been fully translated in that language.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe Jeff can scan like that.
I'm pretty sure, what was it, any issues of the origin are worth a lot of money in the States, and I kind of wish I picked those up back then, but I didn't.
In Espanol.
Yeah.
I can translate this shit. I can do this.
Do it, Jeff.
Do it over a weekend.
I can do that. Oh, gotta get Gundam the Origin Spanish edition? I'm shopping it right now.
I need to get around to getting the Gundam novels since those got re-released, but I found the original copies from, like, the early 90s at a comic book shop, and I went...
Oh, that's what... I have those, too, with the crazy, like, names.
I
like,
was...
Sha.
They were, but they I haven't read any of them yet, but they're sitting on my shelf in my to-be-read pile, which is ever-growing. Tremendous.
I just remember the names were so crazy and different.
Yeah,
I had to, like,
look
at them.
Yeah, it was kind of how they were translated at that time.
And I had to be like, who is this exactly? Like, Garm rather than Garma and stuff. And yeah. And Zack rather than Zaku. Yeah, those books are pretty special.
So they just leave off the last letter of every character's name?
Pretty much. A Geon rather than Zeon.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. That's how they spelled it in this movie, so it makes sense.
Well, I think, wasn't Fred Shaw, wasn't he worried that people would be, like, people would be offended because, you know, the Zeon implication?
Yeah, that might be, yeah, but then also there was that whole thing where, like, when they added UNT on stuff, that was just Bandai trying to market it to the United States because they didn't know... Because they wanted to, like, have it sort of, like, connected to the UN or something.
And then fucking Robotech. Yeah, I miss UN. So
yeah.
That was cool. I like that a lot. Like, in Gundam 080, everything just says UN on it.
But that was, like, more designed to try to market it to the United States. At least the model kits were, because they didn't know really how to go about it.
It was cool, though. I liked it a lot. But then Robotech fucking ruined it for everybody.
Thanks, Carl Masick.
Yeah.
Wait, well, I can't really hate on Carl Masick, so I get a pile of, like,
Thanks, Harmony Gold.
I got a pile of, like, shit. Streamlined VHS tapes I'm going through, which is the Zillion TV series we got released in the States.
We can blame Harmony Gold.
Yeah.
So they were afraid, like, the Anti-Defamation League or someone would get on them for calling it Zeon? They thought it was too close to Zion?
I heard something like that. That just the implications might be a little. If you have space Nazis potentially called Zion, it might be a little bit.
It's like saying Israel was the new Nazis or something.
Yeah. Who knows?
Hey,
I love
you're
the
Palestinian.
I love the
Japan's
you're Palestinian.
Then
it works.
Bad.
But I do love the front covers to the original editions. Like,
yeah,
really
those are so 80s looking too.
They're so cool. I love them. They look like video game covers, like Sega Saturn.
Yeah. But, I guess we're done with this episode. I think we got tons to go on, so... And that'll be Char's counterattack.
When are we going to talk about Unicorn Episode 5?
I think a few weeks from now. We're going to do all the regular USC stuff, and then we're going to get to Unicron. I keep calling it Unicron.
Gundam Unicron, best yes. Gundam show ever made. Just fucking eats all the colonies.
Transformers Gundam Unicron. Voiced by that guy.
I just want to buy everything in this show. I just want to buy everything in this show, but I'm like, I'm poor. Okay, gotta get a Duag, gotta get a Drazen, gotta get the Unicorn, gotta get the Delta. Yeah.
I thought you hated the Drazen, Jeff.
Dude, I have, like...
No, the Drazen is sexy. It's like the Dom, man.
Oh, I'm glad. I remember when it first came out, when you first saw Episode 3, you hated it.
Yeah, but then I realized, goddamn, that purple is sexy.
Alright, well, that's good. You can be a cool person now.
Well, let's go ahead and shut this down. Final remarks, Andy.
Oh, it's really pretty movie with some pretty terrible dialogue.
Jeff.
I'm just waiting for the episode of Age where they whip out the Ouija board and they start talking to Char. That'd be pretty good. But Char's counterattack, it's kind of inevitable. If you're like really into Gundam, you will eventually be drawn into this movie and you will appreciate this movie in whatever shape or form like it sort of takes in your heart, because it will definitely be like, oh, the Gundam, stroking my Gundam dick. And there are things in this that will definitely make you appreciate Unicorn more. And there are things in Unicorn that make me retroactively appreciate this movie even more.
That's a good point. You just stole my fucking line, Jeff.
Listen, Giorgio Scalo stole my line.
It's true.
Care. I'm stealing.
Listen to our podcast.
Stealing from my own goddamn show. I don't care.
All right, Jeff. I gotta save some room for the others. David.
I don't know how to follow that up. Sorry.
All right, Josh, your final remark.
Quest.
And I'll end it with Char is fighting for your prayers.
Wait. There was another person on this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
He's got an excuse minutes. Why, like, each week why he doesn't say much. Like, this week he's sick. Last week was probably something. Next week is going to be something. And being sick.
I understand. I am too.
We can do an episode over League of Legends and then you can talk.
All right. I'll
be busy in a game.
All right, John, you want to shut this down?
Yeah, I'll stop recording. Mission complete.
Sobre te da cara, hablaré de no cavarte, no mirar.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Cybernauts Cast. Do you want more of what we got? If so, check us out over at our website at cybernautscast.wordpress.com. If you wish to leave us an email on, well, anything, then shoot one over at cybernautscast@gmail.com. Check us out on iTunes and leave a review, why don't you? We'll see you next week. Same Cybernauts time, same Cybernauts channel.
Box system on one of the shelves. It's like, when I first went in there the first time, it was like, I saw that, I saw like this whole row of PlayStation 1 games, but that's like, as you keep going, you can see like, yeah, they have like, it, and all these, all the like, old Sega Master System and Genesis stuff, they're all in the box. Like,
do they have Saturn?
What?
Do they have Sega Saturn?
Yeah.
Do they have Panzer Dragoon Saga?
Wait, do they have all the rare games behind a case, or do they have, like, everything out there open?
Well, some of the systems are behind the case. Some of the games are behind the case, some are over on the shelves, but, well, I mean, like, they I don't think they have any Nintendo 64 games in the box.
Okay. Hi, Jeff.
But I don't think they have any Nintendo 64 games in boxes, but they have them all loose behind the counter.
Okay. I'm pretty sure anything that the only games behind the, like in a case or behind the counter would be like every RPG for the PS1, especially Final Fantasy VII or Grandia. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they do have. I was looking through the PlayStation 1 games today, and it was like, I think they had Breath of Fire for the PlayStation 1 on the
show. Dude, how much?
I don't know, maybe like 30.
Okay. Like, I was actually, when I went out of town, like when I went to North Carolina a couple months ago, like there's this flea market I worked at when I worked at this old parking company, and when I had to do directing traffic there, which the place has gotten better, but I don't even know if
you... Oh god, this is scary.
I am.
This is actually kind of scary. Why won't this stop?
Your PC's possessed.
God, it's because I get on X all the time, isn't it? Probably. Okay. Oh god! Oh god! Gotta disable that shit. Maybe I should disable my internal mic for a moment.
At least we got some spoiler stuff at the end.
Josh, okay. What's a Vectrex?
It was like some really, it's kind of an obscure portable system that's like, it's almost about as portable as the Virtual Boy. Like, it's like this huge clunky thing.
Wait, who made the Vectrex?
Hold on, let me...
That sounds like some Atari system, or...
It was Western Technology Smith Enterprises.
Okay.
Oh, Milton Bradley. That's...
Okay. This sounds like something that came out probably in the mid-90s.
It was like 82.
Oh, okay.
Wow, I mean, it's so like it was really early. Game Boy?
Yeah.
Do what, John?
It's a pre-Game Boy thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jesus, no wonder Stereo Mixer was disabled on my sound card. It's a fucking ghost!
Yeah, like, when I record, possessed. I have to hear my own voice.
No, it's just like this loud... it's just like constant, and it's like shakes my headphones. It's like really creepy. It's scary as fuck, man. It's crazy, man. All right.
Okay. Everybody, get up! It's time to slam now. We got a real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Here's your chance. Do your dance at the Space Jam. All right. All right. All right.